Today's shiur is the Masechet Bava Basra on Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. Before we begin today's sugya, I just wanted to comment that we had mentioned in yesterday's shiur that the top picture here in the Rashbam, it appeared to me that there was an error, and last night I had the opportunity to see the Oz V'Hodr edition of Masechta Bava Basra, and in fact, there they have changed, modernized all the pictures on the two Amudim here on Daf Samach Beis, and in fact, they flipped over that Yisachar should be on the left side at the bottom of the square, and Zvulun should be on the right side, as we indicated yesterday, and it is worthwhile to look at the Oz V'Hodr's edition of this Daf, of any Daf, which is the Oz V'Hodr certainly does a tremendous job in making the words and pictures totally accurate. Begins the Gemara. We're going to have in the next sugya a machlokas in two inyanim between Rabbah and Abaya, and both of them have to do with explaining terms of a shtar which are not so clear. Amar Rabbah, says Rabbah, Palga de Isli Ba'aro, if a person said in a shtar that I am selling to the Lokeach the half that I own in the land, so the din is Palga, that in fact he is selling half of his field. However, if he said, he changed the wording around, and he said, Palga Ba'aro de Isli, not the half that I own in the land, but he said, half in the land which I own, then it's only rivah, it's only selling a quarter. In other words, as the Rashbam explains, it all depends what the words the isli that I own is referring to. In the first lashon, according to Rabbah, the isli is going on the palga. In other words, what am I selling to the lekech? I am selling that half which I own in the land. That's exactly that whole half. I'm not selling the other half. Because the other half, as Rashbam explains, is really owned by a shutif. So I am selling my chelik of the shutfis, which is a half. However, in the second lashon, the word the isli is going on Ara. It's not going, according to Rabbah, on the first word, Palga. So what I'm saying then is Palga, comma, Ba'ara de Isli. In that land which I own, which is only a half of the field, how much of that half am I selling to you? I'm selling half of a half, which is a quarter. And that's why there's a difference between the two Lashonis, according to Rabbah. Amalei Abaya said Abaya to Rabbah, Maishna hachi, you maishna hachi. Abaya does not agree with Rabbah that there's actually a difference between the two lashonis. And according to Abaya, in the second lashon, the terms, the words, the isli is referring back not only to Ara, but it's referring back to the palga. The palga de Ara, the isli, the half of the land which I have in the field, that's what I'm selling to you. And how much is that? A half. So, and I own in this whole sada one half, and that's the half that I'm selling to you. So according to Abaya, it doesn't make a difference whether the words the isli is right after the word palga, or whether the words the isli is after the word ara. It means exactly the same thing. Ishtik. Rabbah was quiet. And the way the Rashbam explains that there was a question here, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, whether Rabbah was Moide or not. Amar Abaya, said Abaya, Ano Savri, I was of the opinion that mid the Ishtik Kibule Kabla. I thought that when Rabbah was quiet, that was an indication that he was moided, that he was accepting what I said. But v'loihi, I made a mistake. Because chazin nohan nishtori denof meimar. I saw these stories that came out from Rabbah, from the Bezdin of Rabbah, the Kosovu Hochi, and this is what was written in those stories. And as the Rashbam explains, it was not that this was a psak din that was written into the shtar, but rather the Eidim were testifying on the shtar that this is what we saw happen. His lashon in the mechira was palga de isli ba'ara. That's the first lashon that Rabbi spoke about. So in that first lashon, palga de isli ba'ara, so the psak, the Eidim were saying that how much, in fact, did we see? We saw this amount of money. That's really what they were coming to testify on, how much money was transferred from the Lekeach to the Meicher. But how much did the Lekeach get? He got Palga. That was written on the Shtar. It wasn't a Psak Bezdin written on a Shtar, but it was the testimony of the Eidim, how much land transferred for how much money. So how much did he get of the whole field? He got the entire half that was owned by the Meicher. Then we saw another shtar, said Abaya, Palga Ba'ara de Isli, which was the second lashon that Rabbah stated above. And there the Eidim said that all the Lekeach got for that amount of money was Rivah, was a quarter. So I saw this happened after the exchange between Rabbah and Abaya, when Rabbah was quiet. And yet Abaya says that I see that Rabbah did not agree. He did not go back from his original psak that there was a chilek between the two lashonos. V'yomer Rabbah, and Rabbah said another halacha which Abaya challenged. Meitzar ara dimina palga, palga. Meitzar ara dimina psika tes kabin. What does this mean? Explains the Rashbam that the Meicher delineated in the shtar on the west side, the field adjoins the field of Levi. On the, however, on the right side, it adjoins my karka. I'm retaining some of the karka that I'm, that plot of land that I'm selling to the Lekeach, part of it I'm retaining. And the eastern border of what the Lekeach is getting is taken from the part of the whole Sada that I own, and it's leaving me the rest. So, Meitzar Ara Demina Palga. The easterly border borders on the karka that I'm retaining for myself, from which a half is being split and given over to the Lekeach. So the din is, even though we don't know exactly where that border is, but based on what's written in the shtar, we figure out that he's selling half of what he owns in the ground, and he's retaining half. So then the halach is palga. However, if the Meicher wrote into the shtar that Meitzar Ara Demina Psika, Psika means that it was cut off. That's the border on the easterly side, what was cut off, then all the Meicher has to give is teskabin. He's not the Lashon Psika, as the Rashbam explains on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, is something, a miut that's cut off from a merubah. And what's the least of a miut? The least of a miut, the only viable sada that we could speak about, as we spoke about in yesterday's shir, is something in which you can plant zera of teskabin. So Memela, we interpret the words psika, says Rabbah, that a miut was cut off from a merubah, and that's the amount that I'm giving to the Lekeach. But if I say, divided, I say that there was a palga, that means, in fact, that I retained half for myself, and then comes the border, and then comes the half that I sold to the Lekeach, and the easterly border of the sada that the Lekeach is buying is divided from the entire big sada. He gets half, and the Meicher retains half. This was the psak of Rabbah. Amalei Abaya, Maishna Hachi, Umaishna Hachi. Abaya said, what is the difference, in fact, between the two Lashonos? Abaya was of the opinion that both Lashonos are the same thing. But it's not clear what did Abaye mean. Did Abaye mean to say that they both are teskabin, or did Abaye mean to say that they both are palga? So Abaye's question was to Rabba, Maishnahocha, Maishnahochi. He doesn't see a difference between the two lashonos. So the Gemara says, Ishtik. So Rabba, in fact, kept quiet, and here he, in fact, was Moide. However, the Bnei Yeshiva, the Ritva explained, Sover, the Bnei Yeshiva thought, Sover, Mina, Idi Palga. The way they understood what Abaye was saying to Rabba, and which Rabba was keeping quiet and was admitting, was that Idi Palga, that both are a half. And the Gemara on the Samach Gimel is going to prove that no, that Abaye himself said that the two Lashonis do not mean a palga. Before we go on and we leave Daf Samach Beis, we've had numerous times on Daf Samach Beis that someone was Moide. In today's sugya, we're learning that Rabba was Moide. So one time Abaye thought Rabba was Moide when he really wasn't Moide, because the shtoris that came out of the Bezdin were indicating that Rabba was not Choyzer from his Psak. However, the second difference between the second Shiloh between Rabba and Abaye, in fact, he was Ishtik and he was Moida. On Amid Aleph, we learned in yesterday's Sugya that when there was a Shiloh with Rav and Rav Kahana and Rav Asi against Rav, so it says over there that Shosik Rav, Rav was quiet. And we learned over there from the Rishonim that he was Moida. I saw a very interesting thing concerning the shtika of Rav, which we learned about in yesterday's sugya, and this is in the October 22nd, Dalet Cheshvan, Tovshin Ayin edition of Thursday, of this week's edition of Hamodia, the English Hamodia. They have a section, it's Kedai for anybody who learns Daf Yoimi to look at it. It's called Hadaf Hayoimi, written by Rav Aryeh Leib Pfeffer. And he brings down very interesting from the Chavis Yor in the Tshuva Kuf Nun Beis, based on a Marami Pano and his Sefer Yoinis Elam, that explains that when that Rav, we had it before in the Masechta, sometimes he's called Rav, sometimes he's called Abba, so the Marami Pano wants to say that Rav and Abba were the same person called Rav Abba, who was a Talmud Muvik of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the Mechaber of the Zohar, the Seidus HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah, Kabbalah. And when Rav was Shasik, which we find many times in Shas, it's not that Rav had nothing to answer. But based on Kabbalah, he had to answer. But however, Kabbalah is not Machriya in Nigla. Nister versus Nigla, we go with the Nigla. And he brings here a very interesting collection. We'll just mention a few of the highlights of this fascinating article on this subject of Nigla versus Nister. That Rav was Shasig, he could have answered with Nister, but that doesn't play a role in Nigla, and therefore he kept quiet and he was Moide because the halach is formulated based alpi Nigla. We find the same thing he brings down from the Chidah in his Sefer Marisa Ayin in Sanhedrin of Kuf Amid Aleph that says we cannot be Moitzi halacha based on Soidis and Gematrios. And so, the Chassam Sofer in a few places, one of them is in Chelek Aruch Chaim at the end of Siman Nun Aleph, says that whoever mixes together Kabbalah with Halachas Psukis is Chayiv Mishum Zareya Klayim, Pentigda Shamaleya. It's not the place of Zoyar and Sisrei Torah to come into Halacha Psukka. And the Chassam Sofer in Aruch Chaim, Siman Kuf Tzadik Zayin, says a fascinating thing. Meir ani olai shemi yomai lo shemati mipi raboisei hagoyinim. Hagoyin aflo, hagoyin Rav Nosson Adler. Sefer azoyer yoytze mipi kotshem b'shum drush. That in any drusha, Rav Nosson Adler and aflo never mentioned the zoyer. V'tehilo l'ashem yizborach lo yzoze yodim itoch yodim v'lo yichasarti mehem. He says, I followed in the derech of my Rebbeim, Rav Nosson Adler, and Aflo, that the Zoyar has its place as Kabbalah, Sisrei Torah. But it doesn't come into to drushes of Chazal. It doesn't come into halacha psuka. However, to give some variety in this discussion, the Munkacher in the Sefer Shas and Shuvas Minchas Elazar has a ha'or on the Chassam Sefer, because the Beis Yosef himself and the Magen Avraham and many Acharonim bring the Divrei of the Zayir and the Ari la'alacha ulamaisa. Finally, he brings the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Chaf Hei, brings the Knesset HaGdailah in the Klolim of the Paiskim. We won't go through all the Klolim, but one of them is, which is the most important one, that if there is a machloikis between the Zohar and the Shas Bavli, the halacha is like the Shas Bavli, like the Gemara, like the Shulchan Aruch. The second point is, however, if there's a machloikis in the poiskim themselves, we don't know how to be machriya, and then the Divrei Kabbalah go on one side of the machloikis of Nigla, then the Divrei Kabbalah pushes down to that side, and we go as the Divrei Kabbalah are machriya. He brings down from Shas and Tshuvas his Oiris Tshuva in Chelek Chavbei Simon Chavtes that wants to say it's Pashut Mi'oid, that the Halach is like the Nigla, and he pushes away those who want to say that if something that's found in the Zohar is Deiche Kol Shitas HaPoiskim, that is incorrect. We definitely have to go with the Nigla with the Poiskim. But then he brings the Aruch HaShulchan in Aruch Chaim, Simen Chaf Hei, Sif Chaf Tes, after he brings the Magen Avraham that says that when the Gemara and Poiskim are Mechulik with the Zohar, we go after the Gemara and Poiskim, says the Aruch HaShulchan that I have a Kabbalah that it's impossible to have a Machlaikis between the Zohar and the Gemara. If you find such a Machlaikis, it must be that you don't understand clear Pshat and the Zohar. You have to get another Pshat and the Zohar to make it, to reconcile it with that which it says in the Gemara. He brings Shas Chuvas Pnei Aaron Yeredei Simon Chavtes, that when do we say you go after the Nigla, the Gemara and Poiskim against the Zohar? That's only in a Dvar Isser Veheter or Lahoitzi Mammon. But when it comes to a Minig that doesn't infringe on Isurim or taking out money from someone, then if the Ovis of a person were Noeg a certain way, the Api Zohar, the person should remain with that Minig. And finally, to end this discussion, the Noeg of Yehuda, in Madura Kama Chelik Yeredeya Simena Ayindal, it says, V'hine b'divrei azoyer ein b'tsoyni laharich. I don't want to get involved in the Zohar. Uma ma'oid chora api al elu ha'oiskim b'sefer azoyer b'sifri ha'kabal b'farhesia parkim ol toira niglis me'atzavarim. They are removing from their necks the yoke of the revealed toira, of the nigla. U'metzafzafim u'magim b'sefer azoyer. They're busy chirping away in the Sefer Zohar, v'zev v'zele ala b'yadav. They don't understand the Zohar, they don't understand the Gemara. V'yadei zeh, Torah mishtakeches mi'Yisrael. So Torah is forgotten, and therefore a person has to be Isaac in Nigla, that's the Iker of the Torah, according to at least certainly most great poiskim. And therefore, although Rav on here on Daf Samach Beis had what to answer, but he only had to answer Al Pi Reb Shimon ben Yochai de Zohar. On that, he kept quiet, and that locha goes with the shtika of Rav. Back to the bottom of Samach Beis Amid Beis, where we had a question when Abaye says, and Rabba, in this case, was not Rav, but it was Rabba who was ishtik. When Rabba was quiet and was moide to Abaye, what was he moide? That both lishoinis of psika and palga both represent a half a field, or do they both represent a place where you can plant tisha kabet? So we thought, the Bnei Yeshiva thought that it was half, both lishoinis. Begin Samach Gimel Amud Aleph Elohi, the Omer Rav Yemer Bar Shalmiya, Lididim Mefarsh Leminei Dabaya. I heard the pshat from Abaya himself that there is no difference in the words of psika or palga. That what? Bein Meitzar Ara Demino Palga, Ubein Meitzar Ara Demino Psika. It has nothing to do with those words. You know where there could be a difference? As follows. E Omer Le Eilin Mitzarna, if he says these boundaries, and we'll soon explain what this means, palga, then it's a half. Whatever lashon he used, psika or palga. But if he didn't say these boundaries, then it's only Tisha Kabin. Whether you use Psik or Palgud remains Tisha Kabin, explains the Rashbam. There's a pshat here from the Rashbam, and there's also a pshat of the Kesef Mishnah, according to the Rambam, as well as the Yad Rama and the Meiri. First, the Rashbam's pshat. The Rashbam's pshat is that this person here in this shtar, in this case, has written in the shtar what the Marav Meitzar is. That's Levi, adjoining Levi. He wrote the eastern one, that it's Palgor Psika, from the field from which I am selling to him the Palgor to Psika. That's the boundary, because I'm retaining for myself. But he also wrote, according to the Rashbam, the north boundary and the south boundary. And he said which fields were our north and south. And he also wrote an extra few words in the shtar. He wrote, and these are the boundaries, and then he delineated the north, south, east, and west. So the north, south, and west were clear. The ambiguous one was the east. But since he added these extra words, and as we're going to see on Ahmed Bey's, and we have many times this call, that whenever you write words into a shtar, as the Rashbam says, Yitter, Lushen, Tuva, Liyapis, Koyach, the purpose of writing extra words is to give you an advantage. So since there were written these extra words, we say, according to the Rashbam, that it was Palga. If he did not put in these extra words, Ilam Mitzarno, so then we say, since it's a very ambiguous Lashon, then we only give him the Tisha Kabin, whether he said Psik or whether he said Palga. That makes no difference. But the difference is only whether the extra two words of Elaine, these are Mitzarno, these are the boundaries, were written or not. If they were written, it's half. If they were not written, then it is Tisha Kab. So learns the Rashbam. However, the Kesef Mishnah, based on the Rambam and the Yad Raman de Meiri, they learn a different pshat. They learn that when it's not written Elaine Mitzarno, it means that he only wrote the western boundary of Levi, the eastern boundary up to the part of the land which I'm selling to you, which I'm retaining for myself, that's going to be the boundary. He didn't write north and south. So since the entire boundaries are ambiguous, the only one that's really clear is Levi. He didn't even write north and south. And on the east, we don't really know what he's saying. There he gets the minimum, which is only Tisha Kab. However, if he in fact put in, not like the Rashbam, he wrote extra two words, but he put in, he delineated. On the north, you have, let's say, Yisachar. And on the west, you have Levi. And on the south, you have Zvulun. And then he wrote, on the east, you have the Palga, or the Psika. So then we say, by carefully delineating all the boundaries around, except for the eastern one, but we say he wanted to give him a chelik chashim, he didn't want to just give him tisha kavim, and then he gets a half. That is the way these Rishonim learn differently than the Rashbam. Then continues the Gemara at the two dots, pshita. This is simple. Omar yachloik ploini bin chasai, the Rashbam says. This is either a shchiv mara who is you don't have to make a kinyan. He's someone who's deathly ill, and he wants to write a tzavah. So his words alone are enough. Or it's speaking about somebody else who wants to divide up his property amongst his children, perhaps giving to strangers. So if he said, yachloik ploini bin achasai, if he used the word divide, then you know how much he's giving to that stranger? We interpret it to mean palga, half. But now comes the question of the Gemara. Tenu chelik leploini bin chasimai. What happens if he used this terminology? Give a share in my property to this person. What does he mean there? As the Rashbam explains, do I say that chelik is the same lashon as the word chalukah, division? And if chalukah means a half, then chelik means a half as well. Or do I say that chelik means a proper amount? It's totally in the Das Bezdin. Bezdin will interpret what the person meant to give. But it's not a half. It's something that would be considered adequate to fulfill the lashon of a chelik, of a share. It's not a division in half. That's the shiloh, that's the suffix here. And we're going to find that Ravina Bar Kisi is going to bring a raya from a brisa, and that brisa is going to go according to Sumchis, who holds that whenever you have a suffix, it's Maman Amutl B'Suffik Chalkin, and he considers this Lashon of Tnu Chalik as a suffix, and therefore the person would only get, according to Sumchis, he would get a quarter, because the most that he could get is a half. And you really, and maybe he only gets a little more than nothing, the most minimum shear possible. So the difference between the two extremes of a half and a little more than nothing is a little more than a quarter. He'll get a quarter. We'll go into this more as we develop the sugya. But the point that we're making at this juncture is that we have a suffix here, what the Lashon of Tnu Chelek is. Ask the Rashbam, why do we have a suffix? We have the exact case in Perek Zion in the Tosefta, where the Brisa says, in this very case, so Oimer Tnu Chelek L'Ploin B'Chosai, Yerushim Abonim. That there's a whole third opinion over here. It's not a half. It's not a little more than nothing. But it's whatever my children get, I brought into my family now like a stepson. I brought in a new member to the family, another child, but he doesn't get more than my regular children. That's the psak over there in the Tosefta. So why doesn't the Gemara here ask the Rashbam bring that Tosefta? And the Rashbam gives various terutzim. Either we can say that in our Gemara over here, we're speaking about he doesn't have children. So we can't give that interpretation to his words. Even though he has other Yorshim, says the Rashbam, but he's not thinking about other Yorshim, and therefore our whole suffix is, does he mean to give this individual, this non-member of his family, does he mean to give him half of his estate, like he would use, like he would give if he would have used the word yachloik? Is chelik, tenu chelik, the same as yachloik? Or is it a little more than nothing? Something that could be considered a chelik. That's the first teretz of the Rashbam. The second teretz of the Rashbam is that what this case is over here is tenu chelik leploinai b'ni. The ploini, in fact, that I want to give a chelik is to my son. And the rest, I say, I want to give to that ploini who's not my son. That's the case over here. So now we don't know how much is he planning to give to his own son. Does he mean to give to divide his estate between the ploini who's not related and his son who is related? Or do we say that for some reason he's upset at his son and he wants to give him a bare minimum and all the rest he wants to give to the ploini? So the case over here, according to the second teretz of the Rashbam, is different than the case in the Tosefta. The case of the Tosefta, he's speaking to the ploini. The case over here, he's speaking to his son. Or the Rashbam says that it could be, it's the same case as the Tosefta, but they didn't hear of the Tosefta, because if they would have heard it, they would have brought it to the base of Medrash. And maybe they heard it, the Rashbam says, and that Tosefta is going like the Chachamim who disagree with Sumchas. As we're soon going to see, we're going to be poshed this Shiloh of the Gemara, Ravina Bar Kisi is going to be poshed it based on Sumchas, because the Rashbam Shita is, which is different than other Rishonim. We know there's a machlokes whenever there's a muchzik and there's a shail of taking the money out of a muchzik. The rabbanon shita b'chol hashas is hamoitzim mechaver all of a raya. Sumchas shita is that since it's moment amutl b'safik, even though there's a muchzik, we're going to say yachloiku. The Rashbam shita is that we pass in like sumchas. The makor of sumchas, of course, the Gemara, which we learned in Bava Kamma, when you have shor shenagach es hapara, and they found on the side a dead uber. And the question is, when did this embryo die? Was it cast out by the mother before the shor hit it? Or was it cast out as a result of the negicha? The shor is speaking about a shor tam. And a shor tam pays chotzi nezik. The sumcha says that mamon amutl b'safik is chalkin. We don't know if the owner of the shor has to pay the full amount, which is half of the value, or does he have to pay nothing because maybe this embryo was died and the mother rejected it before the accident with the shor. So the difference between a half, which would be the maximum payment, and zero is a quarter. So Sumcha says that over there that he has to pay a quarter. So that Tosefta that speaks about a whole new idea of giving the ploiny the same amount as we give to the children, that is going according to the Rabbanan. Now, as the Rabbanan say, that if you have a real suffix, it's a moitz mechaver al varaya. But here, the Rabbanan hold that we don't have a real suffix because we interpret his words to mean that I'm giving you the same as I'm giving my children. However, Sumchis does not believe that that's how we interpret his words. We do have a bona fide suffix, and in Sumchis Yeshita, by every suffix is maman amutl besuffix. Is Chalkin. Let's get back to the raya that Ravina Bar Kisi is going to bring from a brisa. Toshima, come in here. This Sunday we learned in a brisa. Here it's a question that someone said, I want to give a portion of my well of water, I want to give him a chelik. The same lotion of our shiloh of tenu chelik. So the first case, we're going to have a few cases here. The first case is speaking about, as the Rashbam explains, that this is a bor that's used for fields, to irrigate fields. So we're going to have a formula here based on Sumchis of Maman Abadul B'Savach Halkin, and that formula we will apply to the four cases that the Gemara is going to bring. And that formula will explain each of the Piske Halacha that we will now have. So if he's speaking about a bore to irrigate fields, you need the water in the whole bore. So the maximum that tenu chelik could mean is a half of the bore. Sumchis oimer, ein pachas merevia. The person that I'm giving this, I'm giving to him as a present, maybe I'm selling it to him, but how much am I giving, how much am I selling to him? He doesn't get less than a revia, very modna lashon. It should say he gets a revia, a quarter. No, he doesn't get less than a quarter. Rashbam explains, because the formula goes as follows. Let us make an example. Out of 100% of the boar that's in question, there is no question that 50% I'm retaining for myself. Because the maximum that tenu chelik could mean is that I'm giving the other fellow 50%. The minimum that tenu chelik could mean, the Rashbam explains, is nothing more than revius halug, which is a very small amount, almost nothing. So let us say it's 2% of 100, 2%, 1/50th of the entire board, 2%. So the question now, the suffix, the money that's mutl besuffix, is 48%. So he's going to get, according to Sumchas, half of that which is in question, which is 48 divided by 2 is 24, plus he'll get the 2% where there's no question that he at least gets 2%. He'll wind up with 26%, which means that he's not going to get less than a quarter of the entire boar, which is 25%. So since the extra 1% that he gets is negligible, it's almost nothing, that's why Sumchas formulated his response that he gets not less than a quarter. So that's in the first case. What happens if he said, tnu chelik l'plani l'chavis, that all I want to give him is how much water would be used from this bore to fill up a barrel. A barrel is used to water the cattle, and for that, the amount that's needed is half of the bore. So, half of the bore, I only want to give him at most half of the boar, because I'm only giving him a chelik. And how much am I giving him a chelik? That amount of water that's used to water cattle, which is half of a boar. So, therefore, it comes out, if we say that Sumchis' formula always is, that you have the difference between almost nothing and half of the amount that's in question. So you couldn't get more than half of a half. That's the maximum. Because the other half of the half I'm retaining for myself. So the most that you could get is a half of a half, which is a quarter. And you get a quarter of that half, that will come out to an eighth. That's what the Gemara says here. Ein pachas mishminis. The most that you could get would be an eighth. Likadera. If you need it for food, ein pachas miyudbeis. Because here, a third of the boar is what is used for food preparation. And your chela could only be according to the hachra of sumchas, could only be a quarter. In the last case, because I'm not sure if I explained it correctly. In the last case, the maximum that you could get, the maximum amount, this is the formula of sumchas. Whatever the entire amount of water that is in discussion, you get a quarter. So if the discussion is an entire boar, you get a quarter of an entire boar. If a discussion is half a boar, then you get a quarter of a half, which is an eighth. Here by Kedera, the discussion, what's needed is a third of a boar for cooking purposes. So you get a quarter of a third based on the formula. So you get the ein pachas miyud beis. And letafiach, it's for a cup of water. For a cup of water, what the maximum that's needed is one quarter of the boar, and you get a quarter of a quarter based on the formula of sumchas. Ein pachas mishisha aser, you get not less than a sixteenth. And all these measurements are always written in a manner of not less than. That's because you, at minimum, you get a little more than nothing. At maximum, you get half of the whole. And the formula of sumchas is that you're going to get half of the amount that's in question. So that's why you always get a little more than a quarter of the entire amount that we are discussing. If we're discussing a whole boar, you get a little more than a quarter of a boar. If we're discussing a half a boar, you get a little more than an eighth. If we're discussing a third of a boar, you get a little more than a twelfth. And if we're discussing a quarter of a boar, you get a little more than a sixteenth. So explains the Rishbam this Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. We have learned something which at first glance has nothing to do with the sugya that we're in, but we'll see as the Gemara develops it, that it has to do with our Mishnah that we began on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. We're going into Hilchas Maaser. We know that Maaser Rishon is a tenth that a Yisrael has to give to the Levi. So what happens in the following case where Ben Levi Shemachar sold to Yisrael? A Levi owned a property and he sold it to the Yisrael, Va'amarloi. And he said to the Yisrael, Almanas Shem Maaser Rishon Shali, I'm doing it on condition that the Maaser Rishon will go to me, the halacha is, Maaser Rishon Shaloida, Maaser Rishon goes to him. So the Rashbam explains that this was a regular thing when a Levi sold a property to the Yisrael. Since the Yisrael has to give it, he has a Toivus Hanoah, he can give it to whatever Levi he wants, but the Levi who now owns the property says to the Yisrael, you have to give it to someone, you might as well give it to me. I'm putting into the shtar that I retain a tenth of the produce of this field, which is for Maaser. If they wrote that into the shtar, then the Levi gets the Maaser Rishon. Now the Rashbam says that really we could have made a case where a Yisrael is selling to a Yisrael. And a Yisrael's daughter married a Levi. They had a child. The grandson of the Yisrael is a Levi. And the Yisrael wants to have the pleasure of giving the Maaser to his grandson. So he says to the other Yisrael to whom he's selling, he says to him, I want to retain a tenth so that I can give it to my grandson. So if he writes that in the shard work, why do we make the case by Ben Levi? Because this is a more common practice. This was a minig that the Levim who owned property and sold it would do it. Now, although the Lashon here is al-menas, the Rishonim, the Rashba speaks out that it's not really a tnai, because it's usher to make a tnai with Maaser, because a Levi is supposed to get Maaser chelef instead of the avoida that he does in the Beis HaMikdash. But if he's getting the Maaser because of a business deal, because of a transaction, that's against what the Torah, the idea that the Torah wanted, that he's getting it instead of his avoida. So therefore, it's also to make it tonight. So what does it mean here, almanas? It means that I'm retaining a tenth of the produce for myself. That's what the lashon here of almanas means. I'm only selling you 90% of the produce. And the Rashba brings a proof, because he says, almanas shemaiserishin shali. He doesn't say, almanas shetitein li maiserishin. It's not that you have to give it to me, but rather, as soon as you designate the Maaser Rishon, it's already mine, because I retain that for myself. So this way, it keeps with Hilchas Maaser. Now, the Braisa said, Maaser Rishon Shaloi, but the Rashbam speaks out, it will not work, if he dies, it will not work for his children. The Lekeach is not Mechuyif to give it to the Levi's children. He only wrote it for himself. If he wants it for his children, that's the next halach of Yom Amor, Li Libni. Libonai, if he said for me and my children, then Mace, even if the Levi died, Yitin Libonai, he has to give it to his children as well. Why there is such a halacha, we will soon see in a few moments. V'im Amar Loi, Kozman Shasod Zubiyotcha, that we have this deal as long as the Sada is in your hands, Machra, if the Lekeach Rishon sold it. V'chazer Lacha, he sold it to Lekeach Sheni, and then he bought it back from Lekeach Sheni. Ein lo yalav klum, the Levi cannot come back to the Lekeach Rishon and say, ah, it says, kol man zman shasad zubiyotcha, and now it is in your hand, you got it back, so I get it again. No, explains Rashbam, why not? Because we have a rule, which we've learned in Bav Mitzi and other places, ma mocha rishon l'sheni, kol schus shetava liyadoi. What did the first Lekeach sell to the second Lekeach? Every schus that he has. And since, by the wording of the shtar, kol zman shasad zubiyotcha, as soon as the Lekeach rishon sold it to the Lekeach sheni, the Levi lost his rights. So now when this Lekeach sheni sells it back to Lekeach rishon, so the Lekeach sheni is the rishon, ma mocha rishon l'sheni kol zchus shetava liyadoi. The Lekeach sheni is that rishon who is reselling to the Lekeach rishon, who now we're going to call him the sheni, every schus that the Lekeach rishon had. The Lekeach rishon sold the Lekeach sheni. At that point, the Lekeach sheni bought the right that the Levi schus is nullified. He doesn't have it anymore, because it's said in the original shtar, as long as you, Lekeach Rishon, have it. But once you sell it to Lekeach Sheni, the Levi's right goes away. So when the Lekeach Sheni sells that back to Lekeach Rishon, we can apply the rule of Ma Mocha Rishon L'Sheni, Kos Rishon Tavol Yadei. The Lekeach Sheni had a schus that he doesn't owe it to the Levi, so the Lekeach Rishon gets that schus from the Lekeach Sheni. Mochra V'chazer V'lokha, Ain't a love klum. The halacha is ain't a love klum. Am I? Now the Gemara asks a kasha on the first halacha. How does this whole al menashe ma'aserishin shali? So the ma'aserishin is shaloi, and the lekeach has no right to give it to whoever he wants. He has to give it to the Levi. Am I? Ain't not a makta dover shaloi bel yoilim. Just like we have a machloikes remain rabbanon, whether a person can be makta somebody else, something that isn't yet in the world. So, Huadin, the Gemara understands that I cannot retain something that is not yet in the world. So just like I can't sell you tfuwa that's not here yet, it wasn't developed yet, it wasn't produced, I can't retain that for myself either. So how can the Levi retain a tenth of the produce, which is loy boli yoylam? So the Gemara answers, Kivin de Amalei Almanas, Shemaiser Rishon Shali, Shiyuri Shire Limakoy Meiser. We have to say, in order, as the Rashbam explains, because Ein Odom Masnal Chinam, a person doesn't make a condition for nothing. If he made a condition, he wants to do everything legally, Alpi Chay Shemish, but that it should come out, that his condition should be maintained. So therefore, what he meant was, that not only do I get a tenth of the produce, but I retain ownership in the karka, in your karka, which is Bo'ilam, which is here, and I'm making, the Rashbam says, like a deal with you as far as a sharecropper. You get 9/10 of the produce, and I get 1/10 of the produce. But it's not a question of loy bo'ilam. It's here. Now, why does this work? This works because I put into the shtar this condition. I wrote, Al-Menashe Ma'aser Rishon Shali. That gives me a koyach And Beis Din works with me to make sure that my condition is maintained. That now we understand why it doesn't go over, says the Rashbam, to the children. If you want it for the children, you have to write it into the shtar distinctly. If you don't write it in the shtar clearly, then we say that this yipui, this yitter lashon, this extra lashon, which every word in the shtar has meaning. So if you wrote extra words, we have to give you extra rights. But we only give it to you. We don't give, because really it's loy bali oyla. It's only we're saying that you maintain some ownership in the land itself for that produce. On that, I only give it to you. I don't give it to your child, unless you wrote the farish in the shtar, li ulibonai. Now, based on these halachas, in Meiser, we're going to connect it to the halachas that we learned in our Mishnah on Samach Aleph. Amar Rish Lakish, Zoysei Meres. From here we learn out that Hamoicher Bais Chaveira. If somebody sold a house to his friend Va'amarloi, and he said to his friend, Amanas, Shediyut El Yonishali, as the Rashbam explains, that the fenced roof on top, it belongs to me. The fenced roof is his. The Rashbam explains that according to the Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph, which we learned, was that when I sell you a bayis, I'm not selling you a mica, a roof which has around it a mica of 10 tvachim. That's a separate rishus. That's not included in the sale of the bayis. The moicher retains that gut. Now, why did you have to add those words to the shtar? You had it anyway. Must be that those words, that's what Rish Lakish says. We learn out from the halachas of Meiser. Just like when the Levi wrote it into the shtar, the extra words gave him additional schosim, so too will be here. The extra words of Diyut al Yanishali gives him extra schosim. As we turn to the Samach Imam Beis, Lamai Hilchasa, as the Rashbam explains, if you had the schus of the mica, the mica retained the gag with the mica anyway. So what is he getting more by writing those words in? So there's a machlaikis from Zvid and Rapapa. Rashbam learns it's a machlaikis, and the Rif and the Ramah, the Ramban, and the Rambam, in fact, learn it's not a machlaikis. Rav Zvid said one thing, Rapapa said one thing, they both hold of each other, and both dinam are correct. But the Rashbam learns it's a machlaikis. Rav Zvid Amar, Shem Ratzel Lahaitzi Baziz and Maitzi. We learned in the Mishnah Daf Nun Testament Beis that someone is also to put out into the airspace of the chatzar of his friend any beams. So the Rashbam learns that over here he sold him not only the house, he sold him the chatzar as well. So even though he retained the gag, he really normally has no right to put zizin into the airspace, which will have a detriment on the privacy of his friend in the chatzar, as we learned in the Daf Nun Testament Beis. But if he puts these extra words, which he didn't need to put into the shtar, he puts the words, Amanasha Yuta El Yanishali, so we give him the right to build out those extra zizin, those extra beams, into the airspace of the chatzar underneath. And now, it's a perfect analogy to the case of Levi. That's what Rish Lakish said, Zoytza Meris, just like the Levi retained ownership in the karka, so that the produce would not be considered davish lebeli oilam, as Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rush explained to Rashbam over here. That airspace per se itself is something that you cannot make a kinyan on. The only way I can make a kinyan on it is by retaining ownership in the karka, on which the airspace hovers over that karka. So just like by the Levi, I say he was Mishayer in the karka, so it shouldn't be Dovish Bali Yoylam. So too, in the Chatzar, he left over ownership of the Chatzar to enable him to put the Zizim, which he normally could not do, in the airspace above the property, which he retained for himself to stick out those Zizim. That's what I'm going to give him, extra rights on that roof. Because he didn't have to write the words, the roof, that he gets anyway. The simple words of Rapapa would be that he could build another Ali on top, and the Gemara later is going to tell us no. For whatever reason, we will see in the Gemara later, that Ali al-Gaba means normally, let's say, the roof collapses. So the only time we say that the roof was retained by the Moicher was for the existing roof. But if the roof is destroyed, then the one who rebuilds it is the Loikeach, and he gets ownership to the roof. However, if it was written in these extra words of So then the moicher retains the right that even if the roof collapses, he'll rebuild the roof and the roof belongs to him. The Rashbam explains why, according to Rashbam, where it's a machlokes Rapap and Reb Zvid, why didn't Rapapa hold like Reb Zvid, and why didn't Reb Zvid hold like Rapapa? So Rapapa didn't hold like Reb Zvid because, according to Rashbam, we have to say he retained ownership in the karka. Says the Rashbam in Rapapa that kuli hai loyahani tnai l'shayer mokmi mashemacher. If he sold him the chutzner, then he sold him the whole chutzner. We don't say, according to Rapapa, that he retains rights to have ground so they could have airspace to put the zizit. And that's why Rapapa says his pshat, where it's only an extra right in the roof itself. However, the Rashbam further, on the second very wide line, says that according to Reb Zvid, the Tnai works for its Ozizin, which is something that he needs right now. And we don't say that he meant, oh, maybe the roof's going to collapse in the future and I want to retain that right. He's not thinking about 10 years down the road when the roof's going to collapse. He's thinking about right now, and therefore Reb Zvid holds that what goes into, gives him an extra zchus over here is not the future collapse of the roof, but the present need to have beams sticking out into the airspace. This is the pshat according to Rashbam. We mentioned that the other Rishonim, the Rif, the Ramah, the Ramban, and the Rambam hold, there's no machlokes, Mara Machada, V'loy Pligi, he gets in fact two schusim, one of Reb Zvid and one of Rapapa. It's interesting that Rabbeinu Tam, in the bottom Toysos, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Divrei Amaskel Almanas, Toysos brings the Rashbam's pshat, but disagrees with it. Where do we find over here that he sold the Lekeach, the Chatzar? In fact, we learned that if you sell a bias, you don't sell automatically with it a Chatzar. So if we're speaking about a bias here, who says he sold the Chatzar? Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam learns that the Zizin means the Meicher retained the Chatzar, but he wants to build something on top of his property, but he'll need to put beams on top of the roof of his friend, of the Lekeach, and the beams will weigh down on the Lekeach's house. So on that, he is giving himself the extra koyach, according to Reb Zvid, that he has that right to put the beams from his chotzer, the meicher's chotzer, onto the meicher's gag, even though it will be using the house of the lekeach itself. So learns the Rabbeinu Tam. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam, the Reb Zvid, Hanidiktoni Zoyse Meretz. According to Reb Zvid, it's perfect, beautiful. The Zoyse Meretz, what Rosh Lakish learned out from the discussion of Sumchis, that whole, from the halacha of the Meiser, of the case of the Meiser, that we learned that the Levi is Meshayer to himself, the karka, so that it's not a dovish loy bali yoylam. Here he leaves over the karka so that he could use, the way the Rashbam learned, the airspace on top of the karka. So both cases fit in well. It comes out that when you have a extra word that gives you in the shtar extra rights, you, not only do you get some extra rights, but in fact, we've learned a precedent that you could retain ownership in the very karka itself. That's a tremendous chiddush. According to Zvid, it's very good that Rosh Lakish said, Zeis Emeres, wow, I learned the Gevaldik chiddush from Rav, from what we learned by the case of the Levi. But El Rapapa, my Zeis Emeres, according to Rapapa, according to his pshat, there's no shear. In fact, that's why Rapapa didn't want to learn like Reb Zvid. There's no shear. I'm not leaving over anything in the ownership of the chutzner. But rather, it's giving me an additional right in the gag itself. Because of the extra language that I used, I got a extra privilege in the roof. So, which is that if the roof breaks, that I could fix it, the moicher, and the roof still remains mine. So, l'chaira, that klal, that extra words in the shtar, give you extra rights, that we've seen many times. For example, we've seen it on Omer Aleph, when the person wrote exactly those words, Elain Mitzer now, these are the boundaries. He didn't have to write it. He just could spell out what the boundaries were. So the Rashbam over there says, extra words gives you extra privilege. There you get half a soda instead of just getting Tisha Kabin. So we see that halacha from many places. What was the big chiddush that Rosh Lakish learned? Zois Emeris, I have a gavaldik chiddush. The Gemara says, Kasha, that's according to Rav Papa's Pshat, it's Taka Kasha. Continues the Gemara, to learn halachas that are negeya to our Mishnah. Amar Rav Dimi min Arda. Haiman de Mizmalei Beis Lechavri, a person who sold a house to his friend. And he also, as the Rashbam says, he was trying to sell him the boros, he was trying to sell him the pits and the cisterns, the brick cisterns as well, the bor and the dus. We've already had this before in Daf Samach Aleph. So the din is, it's not enough to just write umkavaruma. He has to write more than that. Afal gav the cost of lay umkavaruma. Even though he said, I'm selling you the depths and the heights of this house, tzarech l'michtav lay, kani loyach mitohaim aravad rumrakia. He has to put in extra words from the depths of the ground until the very heights of the heaven. My taima. The Gemara asks, why is it that if you just wrote umkavaruma, that enough does not cover the pits and the cisterns of water? So the Gemara says, because I need umkavaruma to add other things. Ahani umkavaruma lemikna umkavaruma. I need it by the umka. I need it, the Rashbam explains, for chafira. If the unless I write the words umkavaruma in to the shtar, and I just write bias, then the moicher has a right to go underground of my house, as long as he doesn't cause, the Rashbam explains, any hezek to my house. He can go underground and dig for oil or dig for gold, whatever he wants, as long as he doesn't cause me any harm. If I want to stop that, then I have to put into the shtar, umke, that I didn't just buy the house, I bought the depths of the house. You cannot dig under my house. Veruma, we learned that a gug with a mica is a separate rishus, it's retained by the meicher. If I want to have the gag with the mica, I want to build on top of my house, then I have to write ruma as well. Otherwise, I don't have that right. So, memel, if I just write umkavaruma, I'm only getting these chusim. Ahani mitoyma aravat rumrakia lemiknebur v'dus mechilas. If I want the boyer and the dus, the sister, and the mechilas excavations, I want that schus that the moicher retains. If I want all those excavation and those items that are used for water, then I have to be more inclusive. I have to write from the depths of the ground until the heights of the heaven. The Rashbam says that really the heights of the heaven I don't need to add. It's just to make it in the same pattern stylistically, because really once I get Rumo, I get the gug, and I get the mica, and I get the ability to build on top of the gug up to the heaven. So what is the extra word rakia add? So enechanami, the main thing that I'm adding is the tohimara, because tohimara itself would only stop him from digging under my ground. It would not give him the bur vidus and the mechilos. It wouldn't give him all those items. The only way I can get all those items is only if I put in the Tohoim Ara. Once I'm writing in the shtar Tohoim Ara, then in the Chanami, I make a similar lashon in the shtar of Rum Rakia. And we will see more on this subject, B'siyata Rishmaya, in tomorrow's shir.